And now, Hookie eating a mic.
That's like eating a
mic. Great, I'm gonna use my microphone for you.
For dry red eyes, call Jason, he'll sperm in your face.
Mommy!
That's fucking weird, man.
Hey, do that again.
What? Do what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, our nipples need tuning.
I can't. Not today.
Tune the nipples.
I'm fucking chewing. Fucking A.
That's right.
Either I can have my mouth rot off or die of lung cancer. I'm smoking cigarettes. I can't be doing that anymore. It's killing me. Chewing, no.
So, ladies and gentlemen out there in radio.
Oh, is it recording now? Jesus.
Yeah, all that shit you talked about, Mary, it's going to be on there.
Yep. Welcome to the podcast.
So, ladies and gentlemen out there in podcast land. Welcome to the first introductory. Welcome to the first introductory episode of.
I'm Jason. This is Rob Hookie. This is Billy William or Willby or Billiam Willby Slessor, and they were in a band called Permit Midnight. And they'll probably be talking about that, and we're going to talk about maybe some random shit, music, art, who knows. We'll find out real quick.
And everything else that nobody gives a shit about.
Nobody's going to give a flying fuck about this. I mean, we're already doomed. We're fucking headed for disaster already.
All right. No notes.
Okay, so let's go into our first segment. Give us that jingle, Jason. And when you hear that sound, that means we are going into some music talk here.
You're sorry, the number you've reached has been disconnected, asshole.
What's going on, Billy?
What do you mean?
Nothing.
What?
Okay, dude. So, Billy, I'm interested to know. You are the music guy. Tell us about this little setup we got here.
Setup's fairly basic. Running an Alesis Firewire mixer, 16
Okay,
tracks.
Jason, why don't you tell us about what you've been doing lately?
You know what? Fuck you guys. I can mute that microphone.
I have nothing to do with this shit. It's all him. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting to hear some information on recording. And
did I did I? I think I muted your microphone.
Yeah, I think you didn't.
Okay.
Well,
chip.
Let's not mute the cutest guy in the podcast. The hottest guy in the podcast.
You wish.
Okay. Now, all right. So, Billy, what have you been listening to lately?
Got the new Carizian last night, and that's just fucking
Oh, that's what you were spinning
shit.
In the car, weren't you?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Even at low levels, it kicks ass.
It is brutal.
Hell yeah.
Aside from that, just listening to Love Like Blood, pretty much their discography. They have a CD of nothing but covers, and they cover, like, Type O Negative's Black Number One, and Whatever That Hurts by Tiamat, and, oh, Christ, there's one other one
Paradise Lost.
Yeah, that's
cover.
It. Yeah.
That's great by them.
Which track? God damn it. Can't remember.
Fucking A.
Jason, what have you been spinning lately?
Oh, well, I was listening. I won't get into it, but I was listening to a lot of Sinister. Old school shit. Sinister. Fucking Skinny Puppy. A few other albums I'm not going to name. One particular band that Seth was involved in from Anal Kite. Satyricon out the wazoo.
I've been in a weird Metallica mood, which doesn't really happen much. Listening to Master of Puppets and... Is that okay? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, yeah, just listening to Master of Puppets, and I actually watched the Paradise Lost films about the West Memphis Three. Very fucking... Very good. That goes to show that film actually does more than entertains people. I mean, those films are responsible for releasing three innocent people who have been locked behind bars for 18 years. You know, so powerful shit. But yeah, weird Metallica mood lately. I don't know why. I'm not a big Metallica fan.
It is kind of odd. So yeah, Jesus Christ, really haven't had we haven't watched anything here in forever, man. Just keeping on, keeping on.
Well, I mean, I understand you're doing a lot of the Nelderish shit, right?
Yeah, we track vocals for Neldereth's third album. One song was already completed, Ritual Suicide. Starting on another track right now, and just trying to get the best performance out of Oz as we can. And I mean, we've done a couple takes, and it sounds pretty good so far. It's just trying to make sure that everybody's happy. So we'll be doing that again before too much longer. And I expect that King Fally is supposed to be coming down from this. King Fally from Deceased is supposed to be coming up at some point, hopefully soon.
That'd be so awesome.
Yeah. Just looking.
Jason, have you had a chance to hear that track?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
His fucking vocal.
Only Ritual Suicide.
Yeah, dude, I heard that he posted it on Facebook. Man, that fucking sounds great.
And contrary to some opinions, I think that recording is absolutely incredible. I love it. It's fucking disgusting.
Well, whatever Oz did.
Yeah, the vocals.
The vocals are fucking. I didn't even know that was him.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's a definite change from the last album he did.
Yep. I think it's because he's smoking more cigarettes.
That could be. Seriously, man, no joke. He goes through. If he's here for longer than what, 2 hours, you're looking at nearly at least half a pack.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Warmer days, warmer months, it's going to be more.
Well, fuck, if it...
I can't keep up, man.
If it takes him smoking a barrel of cigarettes to get that kind of a performance, man, more power to him, because his vocals in that track were awesome. I'm not trying to blow smoke up anybody's ass, but... You got to give credit to where, credit's due.
It did turn out really well.
And even though I recorded the vocals for Oz... How many, really had nothing to do with it.
How many tracks did you do for them so far? How many have I fucking heard? I heard more than that one.
I think you heard three, but we've only done one that's completely done.
Maybe when you edit the show, you can throw in some Neldereth tracks, man. Old Neldereth that's already released.
Yeah, I suppose that's a possibility. Should be a
fucking Invert Christ.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good album.
I have it somewhere.
I have it too.
I like it. I think it did come out. I thought it came out really good considering their time frame and the rush of it. You know, obviously he's being rushed through the fucking album.
Yep.
And it's something that's not being done around here. At least we know one guy. You know, one other guy than yourself. You know, you guys. You know, doing metal like that. That's fucking great.
Yeah. Well, for the longest time. For the longest time, it was only Permanent Midnight that I knew of.
For the longest time,
from
it was.
From the period of 2000 to 2004, because I believe Oz kicked off Neldereth in 2004. Well, and then we had bands like...
We had the one band. them. Yeah, I didn't want to give them credit, either. Them.
Those who shall not be named.
Nope.
But then we had Killing Chapel.
you bastard! Thou hast said their name, Seth.
Fuck stick.
I'll tell you this.
Nah, it's all right.
I'll tell you this, man. I'll tell you this. For the longest time, there was no metal. Uh-huh. And then, you know, this insurgence of thrash and, you know, you had Oz doing the Death Black thing. Then you had Killing Chapel just fucking totally destroying. I really thought they could have went somewhere, man.
Yeah, they were badass at what they were doing until they blew it.
Yeah, but it was good stuff, but I mean, before all that, there was.
But you had three guys in a band, though. What you guys did was great.
But even before that, there's another band called Dark Wrath that you were a part of, and you guys played played in music with a couple other bands back at what, CC's?
Yeah, Dark Wrath was pretty much a fucking high school band between me and a few other guys. Fucking laughable now when you listen to it, but we were supposed to play in Music PA with 6 Feet Under at some point. But I guess there was some issues with some white supremacy guys, got the place closed down at CC's.
Oh, Jesus.
Is that the airport?
The airport?
Is that because there's shows at the airport one time that I heard
CC's
about.
CC's was like a bar.
Okay. Because they got shut down because of Nazis.
I was in there one time, and we played the show with a few punk bands, and we played with Doug Ruckel's band called At War With Extinction. And then after that, they got, you know, we were supposed to go back up there. We were actually booked to play with 6 Feet Under, and then they closed down for some unknown reason.
Drag.
That sucks.
No good. And being as I'm not from here, I don't know all the fucking history of all the little venues.
There's really not a whole lot of history, yeah. Man. I mean, Pennsylvania is at least the part that we live in here in the northeastern fucking segment. It's just like the dead wood off of.
That's bizarre because you had Relapse fucking Records from PA, which God knows I'm to them.
Relapse, what? Nuclear Blast. What else? There was one from a CD we saw.
Nuclear Blast was from PA?
No, they're German. They're European.
I thought they had a
They're America, and I don't know. Nuclear Blast America, and then mostly Germany, I think.
Well, if you want to go back farther to the late 90s, in Bloom, Reflections had a fucking scene there at one time where every weekend you can go there and see punk bands, you know?
That's true.
There's an interesting story with Dark Wrath, too. When me and my bandmate went down there, we were just in high school, so we set up a mic in the middle of a room and just started playing a bunch of garbage, and we made a little demo out of it, and that's what it sounded like, garbage. It sounded like I was beating on trash cans, and, you know.
Then you joined the front of midnight, and still, you'd just beat on fucking trash cans.
Exactly.
Almost literally.
Trash cans, we had a dead cat for a singer, and I don't know what the fucking guitar player was doing.
Being the sexiest guy in the band.
Doing the hair whip.
It's all it's good for is doing the fucking hair flip.
So we go down to Phillips, right?
Oh, and a Fisher Price piano.
The Fisher Price. Yeah, use that too, the Fisher Price piano.
We go down to Phillips Emporium. We give the demo to the owner. She puts it in. At the time, we gave her an old tape. She put it in and she heard it. She heard this like scratchy G.G. Allen type.
And then the song started.
Yeah, she goes, no, there's not a snowball chance in hell you're playing here. Because I guess from what I took, she said there was punk bands there fucking destroying the place, you know, starting fires in there. And
Skank Williams was
Skank what? Williams, yep. Yeah, that was Chris Britton's band, yeah.
Yep.
They were like, they were a big thing back then, man. I remember being a kid just...
They were going to be signed, and the other band members flaked out.
Skank Williams was big at one time. What the fuck is up
with that around here anyway,
fucking
man?
Joan Jett wanted to sign them, and Chris told me that other guys flaked the fuck out. That's bizarre, man.
That's par for the course around here.
So, I actually give some credit to Dark Wrath for actually starting the Phillips thing back up. I mean, before that, they weren't having any of it. And then,
If you want to go before then, there was a band from the area called the Ossuary, who were based around, the Wilkes-Barre Pittston area. I can't remember exactly. And there was another band with my buddy Butch Frabel called Graphic Violence. He was a part of that. He's done other things since then, like Ink and Punished and what he's working on right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, and Existentialism, but that was the studio.
Existentialism. And Jesus Christ, I can't speak.
Is that how it was? Existentialism?
Existentialism.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, with Tommy Lynn.
Tyrant.
Like a thrashy metal, kind of based off of Overkill, basically.
Yeah.
That's like one of their biggest influences.
Brutal, though.
So it's not like we've been completely starved of a metal scene here. It's just, you know, barely a pulse. You know,
well, I mean, point is,
a handful of people trying to make something out of nothing.
Yeah. If you think it was dead now... If you think it's dead now, I mean, it was on life support back then.
Yeah.
Because when we were active, when Permanent Midnight was active, there wasn't a fucking band. I mean, you know, that first show we had in Paul's in the practice trailer, we put out stuff on the internet. I mean, nobody showed up. I mean, that goes to show you, you know, there was nothing.
What, the first show? The very first Permanent Midnight show at the trailer?
Yes.
There's about as many people that showed up for that was when we actually first played and
had a cover charge. Yeah, and it was all friends.
Yeah.
I mean, still, there was no...
But, you know, you can kind of say the same for when we were first starting to play, because those people that were our friends were also pretty much the only metalheads in that general vicinity.
Exactly.
So it was really tough going
through
a
high school,
period of time.
So in my high school, it was about four of us that listened to metal, and the rest were... up the Backstreet Boys ass or something.
See, that's
like
weird.
That.
I mean, we did had people in our school, you know, quite a few people listen to metal. We were a boat on fucking cowboy town.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
And
we're like 2.5 hours, 3 hours outside of New York City and Philadelphia, roughly equidistant, yet there's like nothing going on here compared to what was in Halstead, Kansas.
That's bizarre, man.
That's fucked.
kids trying to play fucking Slayer and in the band room.
Yeah, and
fucking, I don't get it. That's weird. That'd be weird for me. I mean, we were still outnumbered, though. We were outnumbered, you know.
Oh, yeah.
To the fucking jocks and preps or and the little goody do-gooders. Right. But,
well, you know, the mindset in this area is if it's not on the radio, it's not worth a fuck.
Yeah, if it's not 97X.
It's not worth anything.
Oh, God, that toilet.
Oh, God.
It didn't fucking used to audio be that toilet. Way. There's a band name, Audio Toilet.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
97.9X didn't even used to be like that all the time. I mean, back
Freddy's
when,
Closet.
Yeah, Freddy's Closet was one of the big adrenaline doses that used to that we used to get, you know, trying to form a band and looking for influences. And there's just nothing but good shit coming through the airwaves between 11 and 1 on Saturday nights. Like anything from Carcass to Type O Negative and Crematory, Moonstone, Sepultura, Death. I mean, they played a lot of good shit.
And now Wilkes-Barre, I caught some Wilkes-Barre Metal Monday. Deathcore. Garbage. Yeah, the kids are not even playing metal.
That figures. It doesn't surprise me.
Where the hell? You might hear some Gwar, and that's cool, but where the fuck is the Carcass and the old school, you know? I don't want to hear any of that.
No, it's just fucking... I don't get it.
At least
it.
You guys had that, you know, in the beginning, you know?
Yeah. I really wish I had listened to Carcass when I was in high school because,
ugh.
Yeah, just
that's all I've been. Oh, that's all I've been listening to. I'm like, yeah, because well, I was like fucking Walkman, dude.
Yeah, I was thinking of Heartwork though. Just wanting to. I wish I'd heard that back in high school. More that album. Besides
I had
that one
whole
track.
Fucking promotional posters and stuff. And I lost it in a ruin during all the moves when it came out. We heard it before Christ. It came out. That album is just. I love it. That's incredible.
Good times.
Yeah, and you were in the West Coast, so I mean,
too. Well, Kansas Kansas is where I heard most of everything. I wasn't living in California when we heard all the real brutal when it started coming out. I was in fucking Kansas.
See,
well, except 83, I was back in California for we were back briefly, or 82, 83. And I see kids fucking punk, you know, Mohawks. Fucking Slayer, you know, Venom, you know, but really I moved back and then boom, you know, the little cowboy town. And you go to the mall and like fucking Wichita or Hutchinson, people wearing Danzig, Misfits, Danzig, Slayer, fucking Maiden, you know. Well, I heard all the old school metal bands anyway, but you guys kind of sucked because you got some stuff late, you know.
Late if ever, man.
Yeah. I mean, I think my... Our mindset, you know, when Permanent Midnight got together, I didn't even know, beside my little clique of friends, that there was other people who really liked what I was into. Because even the small group of friends I had in high school, I mean, they weren't really into the death metal I was into. Because when I first got into death metal, it was early Cannibal Corpse, Obituary, a lot of that stuff, that style. And, you know, when I found Billy and Paul, it's like these guys were listening to shit that I was listening to. And when we joined, it was three people who liked... Paul was the black metal guy, I was the death metal guy, Billy was the doom, atmospheric death metal guy, with Type O Negative and Moonspell mixed in. And we just took all of our influences and threw it in a can and shook it up. And that's... You know, that's where our inspiration came from, you know? But I credit, you know, I'm not a good drummer by any means, but the little talent I have, I credit to Billy and Paul for really, you know, we inspired each other every week. You know, we had, every Saturday we had practice, we had rehearsal from, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6, sometimes like 10 hours.
Yeah.
There was a lot of long days, and, you know, when we were active, We got a lot of shit accomplished, you know. I mean, we never really played out, but
we did it like a handful of shows, but it never. I mean, this kind of lends itself back to the issue we had with, you know, the lack of venues in the area. I mean, not even fucking Allentown was doing shit. I'm sure there was some stuff coming through fucking Philadelphia, but it'd be hard to get onto those shows. I mean, you definitely can't tour without having insurance.
You gotta know somebody
shit,
too, other bands and shit to get on, like.
And we were so, you know, out of the loop. I mean, literally trapped in the fucking hell that is Northeastern Pennsylvania.
Well, most of those bands, anyway, you probably don't want to fucking know because most of their attitudes are crappy anyway. The ones that we've seen, you know what I mean? The local bands. And
well, you know, the names.
Philly bands.
The names are mistaking me, but we played with Ink in May of 2004 at Peppers.
Yes.
And Peppers was this bar.
I would love to have seen that.
Well, Peppers is closed down. Right?
Especially Paul Theory. Yeah.
It's called Melons. That was actually the first show.
That'd be incredible to see.
That was the first show. That was the first show for Print 'Em Midnight that we didn't wear our corpse paint.
First and only.
Yep.
And we got up there. Peppers was this bar, but underground, it was like, they would have like bullying, the rock and
box. Oh, yeah,
the
yeah underground,
box.
Yeah.
They had the rock and boxing where people would just get in there and box. And we were on the actual ring.
Yeah.
That was our stage. They just took the ropes down. But I remember being playing with Ink, and I forget the two other bands, but my equipment was stolen.
Yeah, your cymbals.
And I mean, I'm not saying who. I don't even know who it was. I mean, I know it wasn't Ink, but somebody there got off my equipment. And half of that was my part because I went. They were playing Rain and Blood. So as soon as our set was over, I went over there and started fucking headbanging. And I just kind of left my stuff just, you know, so that's my fault. I don't blame
it. I would like to see everybody's reaction, though, when you guys just started the first fucking riff and the whole...
Well, it was...
Half of these guys, hilarious. I mean, the crowd, they didn't know how to react because they weren't used to what we...
They know what the fuck that is. Yeah. They know what the fuck you guys were doing.
We hadn't been the heaviest thing that ever played that fucking place, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They have no idea.
The reaction wasn't bad. I've seen a lot of faces there that we haven't seen at other shows before that really got into what we were doing. Like one of the tattoo artists at Mark's Tattooing in Hazleton, he's been a friend of the band for a few years prior and finally got a chance to see us, and he, you know, just loved it, so... So... But, yeah, I mean, that show wasn't like a complete waste of time. It was...
Definitely not.
That's not a waste of time. That's just getting it out and getting some reactions and causing some panic, maybe wreaking some havoc.
It never really bothered me who came to the show. I don't care if it was 5 people or 50 people or maybe 100 people. I never care. I was there to play, and that's what I had fun doing.
Same here.
I mean, I remember the first time I played in high school at Phillips Emporium. That was probably the biggest crowd I played in front of. And there was like at least 75 to 100 people in that little coffee shop.
That's crazy.
Then there was times we played in front of 6 people, and I didn't give a shit. I just, you know, I still don't care, you know?
Yeah. Just miss those days. I mean, just generally missing getting a chance to go out and play.
Right.
You know. It's fucking stifling being here. You know, I mean, this is kind of like a common theme, but, you know, it's the truth nonetheless. It seems like a lot of people involved within the scene now, I mean, yeah, they love their metal, but they love getting fucked up too in whatever fashion that they choose, whether it's booze or coke, pills, or just flat out laziness.
Yeah, and the music just suffers. The bands
pretty much.
You have nothing else to do, you're gonna fucking shoot some heroin. I'm sorry.
You got something else to do.
Well, once you guys aren't doing that shit, and you guys fucking...
Yeah,
You want to fucking, you know, grass, maybe some fucking beer or booze.
Nah, I didn't smoke grass back in those days.
Oh, shit.
It wasn't...
Maybe some booze.
It was...
But you guys weren't all drugged out.
You and Mary are Billy's bad influences.
Yeah, right.
Don't blame me, pal.
No, actually, I didn't smoke
weed.
That's
a joker. I've had it.
I didn't smoke weed for the first time until February 2005. So, yeah, it was a good number of years after Permanent Midnight started playing that I dabbled in that. And it, you know, wasn't very often.
Mm-hmm.
Suffice to say.
Oh, by the way, I never told you I did see your commercial. Did I tell you I saw your commercial for Hollywood Video?
Yeah.
And what's his face is in it?
James.
Yeah, Jimmy C.
Jim Salona, yeah.
Vitamin C. I don't know what happened to that guy.
Yeah.
I hang out with him all the time.
Well, I'll let people know, you know.
Sorry to change the subject, sir.
No, not at all. This is an open table, right?
Pretty much.
So I really wish Permanent Midnight would do more shit, though. I'm serious. I wish the one thing could be solved, like, seriously.
Well... I mean, it's not like we haven't buried the hatchet. You know, it's not like we're
not
still...
But you don't think it's too separate now, life-wise, yes? You know what I mean?
You can never say never. I mean, you know, we got to see fucking Carcass get back together. You know, there's a lot of shit we thought we'd never get to see that we did see. you know, Soundgarden's recording.
I saw the Heartwork tour. I smoked pot with Carcass.
I mean, just it your experiences awesome. Alone would be its own show.
So but I'm pissed, though.
I have friend, the mic, sir.
No, I had a friend, Black Metal Hippie Mike, that's what's his name, in Arizona. He saw Carcass with Death and was just three of them. Steers, Owen, and Walker.
That's nuts.
That's fucking disgusting.
I was going to say, what was I going to say? What were we talking about before that? I need to fucking write this shit down.
We were talking about
playing the scene. And
playing the scene.
I'm like getting back. Is there any way of writing fucking music and, you know.
I don't know how far. I mean, like I said, we can never say never, but, you know, we're.
Oh, you guys weren't all drugged out either.
No.
There's no excuse for it, these assholes, okay?
Exactly.
There's no excuse for it. You guys were either working, and this, since I've only known you 6 years, a little bit longer. I met you when I was still in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking. All you guys would work, since I've known you, that's all you care about is making the fucking shitty paycheck and being involved in music.
Pretty much.
And that's it.
That was our lives, man.
And film and art, in some way art, you know what I mean? It wasn't, let's fucking get high, like a certain band that you named, you know, fucking. But you guys weren't doing that. I'm thinking, man.
Yeah.
Because even the bands I knew in Kansas, guess what? They fucking get drunk all the time.
They like to live the lifestyle without putting in the actual work.
Yeah, and the lifestyle is going to kill you anyway.
Yeah, but
well, there could have been other things we could have been doing if it wasn't for music. Probably murder would be one of them. But
yeah, exactly.
Skip kidding.
The fucking all the beat and just go on a fucking killing spree. That's better. It's better than fucking yourself up.
Yeah, music was our kind medium just to keep us.
Sated.
And you guys are different artists. I mean, you know stuff about video and sound, Billy, you know? Billy's got a degree.
Yeah, got a degree in music and recording music. And engineering.
And Hookie here has gone to school for film. And you guys have all kinds of different artistic ideas and, like, talent. And you decided not to go get fucked up and, you know, be stupid.
Yeah, pretty much just like a pursuit of knowledge with no particular goal in mind, so long as we, you know, utilize what it is that we've learned.
Do you think you want to make goals, though? Do you think you guys may want to fucking do something? Like, well, have a goal, musically at least?
I said just to comment on what you were saying about everybody's different, how we all have our different... whatever.
Different outlets?
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Billy, for that. Our different outlets. We all had our own talent, which we brought to the table. Well, I wouldn't say talent at first, but we've developed different interests, and even the guy who's not in the room that's part of Permanent Midnight, he's fucking incredibly talented. Incredibly talented,
fucking creative, totally.
And he's, you know, he's a very motivated person.
And people don't know he played keyboards and sang for Permanent Midnight.
Yeah,
and the guy,
he was definitely the driving force, man. I mean, he brought a lot to the table. We all just picked each other up. There was times I went to practice not feeling like doing shit, and you know, Billy here would just start wailing away, and I would play, and Paul, you know, so we always kept each other inspired in that way. But as far as like with me, I've always had an interest to make film while maintaining some sort of musical career. Billy, and I remember when I first met you guys, Jason Yakimowski and myself, we actually wanted to go out to Ohio to a little recording workshop to record music. So music's always been an interest to me. It's always been an interest to you. Same with Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, when you're in a band, it's like marriage, and sometimes marriages just don't fucking work out.
That's it. And yeah, Paul.
And we've talked about reuniting for like a quick video and stuff. Just kind of saying an official goodbye, fuck you, you know.
Or you look at it, maybe it doesn't have to be that way.
Like a new beginning.
Because, I mean, you have, whenever you can get it done.
Yeah.
Hope is Dead.
Yeah.
Which would be fucking great. Which, former Killing Chapel drummer.
Yeah.
No motivation.
Hope is Dead. has so much fucking history with little to show for it, because Hope is Dead has been around since like 2002. That's your brainchild for 2002.
Yeah, this was...
I remember sitting in my basement in 2003 writing you lyrics for Hope is Dead.
Well, you never wrote me lyrics for that.
I remember writing... You never looked at them, but I wrote you lyrics.
Yeah, you're right. I don't remember looking at them.
Secret lyrics.
What do you mean I never wrote you lyrics?
Not that I ever remember having seen.
I wrote them.
Fair
and
enough.
I wanted to hand them over to you. Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody writes my music. That's just me.
Well.
Fuck you.
We got nobody else to work with.
Was that an impression?
That was Billy.
Hmm.
Hey, man. It's all my idea.
It was all my idea. That Hope is... I mean, we should probably give it a proper introduction. Hope is Dead was a project I was looking to do. A side project apart from Permanent Midnight. You know, more in line with my influences as opposed to what Permanent Midnight... I mean, not knocking Permanent Midnight by any means. I mean, what we created... It was such a unique mix of doom, goth, death, gore, black metal. I mean, and... what I really wanted to do was something more in the lines of like Type O Negative and Moonspell, Sentence, Paradise Lost, Mind Dying Bride, Morning Beloved, etc., etc. You know, just trying to do something a little
flat
bit
out doom.
I wouldn't say flat out doom because,
well, you know, not heavy doom, but like totally. It's not happy shit. I mean, look at the name.
Yeah, generally miserable shit.
It's just miserable fucking.
I mean, the name itself kind of has like the name itself kind of has dual meanings in one respect. The idea of Hope being dead was a kind of reflection as to what I was going through at the time. I mean, when I got the idea for it, I was suicidal. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I fucking wanted to die. I mean, it was selfish, but that is what it was.
It's fucking life, man. You're gonna feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, you get fucked around with by a fiance, you lose your job the next day, and a very close family member dies, and this is in like a three month span.
You just want to blow the fuck up.
Blow myself the fuck up. My idea was that life had more to offer than what I was seeing, and I felt like I deserved better. And if life wasn't going to give me what I saw, what I was fighting for, then there's no point in living.
I was there. I've been there.
So
I was going the slow route, but I mean, luckily, you had that outlet.
Well, it...
Did you think it saved you? Do you think it helped you out? Hope is Dead, the idea.
I can't say it was the idea of Hope is... And going back to the meaning, it was basically that, you know, I was hoping for so many good things in life, and, you know, it was never coming to pass. Hope is ultimately dead. Another aspect was what I was reading from Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible, the idea of hope. Kind of...
He's a great writer. Anyway.
The idea of hope kind of leading you to... I don't want to say this. Hook, I know you read the book, and I know you kind of know where I'm coming from. The idea of hope having... providing that possibility of something not to happen, like you hope to do this, you hope to do that, by hoping to do something and not saying you are going to do something, you're allowing that opportunity for failure. So
hope is a scapegoat.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that...
Well, your original... I mean, to be fair, wasn't your original title Sex is Dead?
Yeah, that was... and that
Which
kinda...
at the time, for you, sex was non-existent, so...
Yeah, you're not kidding. And it wasn't terribly... it wasn't terribly accurate for what I was experiencing at the time, and it didn't help that Marilyn Manson had on the back of a fucking shirt night. Oh. In no way or form wanted to be involved with that fucking garbage. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, just kind of taking reflection of my life and considering all things. I just felt the Hope is Dead was a lot more appropriate.
Well, believe it or not, the lyrics I was referencing to earlier...
You want to rinse it out?
They were coming from a time when I was a bit depressed too, so, you know. I actually was inspired to write that stuff, and I can't believe I never showed you that.
Yeah, I...
Tell you the truth, I probably couldn't find them if I did.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I figured they would probably be rejected because it is your baby, but I wrote them just to write them.
Well, for all intents and purposes, it's not like I would... It's not like I would
just went up Jason's ass.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I can't say I would have rejected him. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Right. But Hope is Dead. Been around for years now with one song recorded. A lot of work's been done.
I love it. Like, seriously, what you played, you know, what I've heard.
What is Given?
I think I don't even know the title. All I know it was just...
What year was I recorded? I think it was 2009.
And your new stuff you did was...
Yes, 2009.
Yeah, programmed for What is Given back in 2009. I did it during a summer.
You did some work for Jansen, too, right? Some vocals.
You didn't hear what he did with Jeremy, though.
You did vocals for...
I did do vocals for Jansen, but it was not in anything that was used. It ended up being a song that one of his other bands ended up doing, so that, I mean, you know, it was what it was. It left a kind of sour taste in my mouth, but, you know, there's no ill will there.
You ain't got nothing but a salty taste in your mouth, bitch.
No, but that stuff you were working on with the live drums, that's killer fucking riffs.
2 years ago, was it?
Yeah, killer fucking, almost, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
About a year ago.
Yeah, and the reason that didn't, you know, see the light of day is because it wasn't,
I had no help.
Pretty much, I mean, I could have done the rest of it myself. I can play guitar, bass, and do vocals and shit, but,
the percussion.
Yeah, it was the drums and not having enough equipment to, you know, capture everything. I mean, I could have had the two drums. I mean, all the drums were pretty much going through one microphone, the SM50 that's there in front of you guys. It was angled over his left... Let me think about this. No, it was angled over his right shoulder, aimed straight down at the snare, but how the polarity pattern from the microphone is, it was able to still pick up the toms and the cymbals really well, And I guess it didn't sound bad, but it would have been like a very rough demo quality.
Oh yeah, but what I'm getting at is what you were coming up with, what I heard music wise.
Oh, as far as music, yeah,
it's fucking killer, man. It's just a drag that you didn't get no other, you know, motivation from the other party involved, you know, from the drum, you know. But
when you don't have a car and you don't have a job and you're 21 at the time, and you know,
it doesn't matter how old you are. If you don't have a car and a job, you're not really going to do anything. Yeah, you're not going to be.
I mean, unless you have somebody gullible enough to pick you up and, you know, pack up the equipment and transport you just to jam for a weekend.
No. Not good.
I'm committed, but...
You know what? If you're going to do it all, you're going to do it all not have to go pick somebody up pay and do all this, and the other thing.
To be fair, you're committed, but you're not a babysitter.
I just think it sucks because that's a good idea. It's a good project, and there's a lot of emotion involved in it, and... I just hope you can fucking get it out sometime.
Well, Jason, go ahead.
No, that's cool. Go ahead.
I was actually going to redirect the conversation. Jason, why don't you tell us about, what you do and how, you know, you can go into how you met us, what you thought, or, you just talk about, like, how you got into metal and shit. Like, go back to when you were a sperm and your daddy and you know.
My memories are a bit fuzzy.
Let's see. His background was with the Shaolin priests. Hi! No, really. I got into metal probably when I was 6 years old. I'm not kidding, because when I moved to Kansas from California, my cousins, Cynthia and Russell, had a fucking record player up in the attic in Hutchinson, Kansas, in their house. And they had Iron Maiden albums, AC/DC albums, fucking Kiss, whatever. I always listen to rock music. No, I was probably about 7 when I heard. Between 5 and 7, probably 7. And I would listen to those albums up there. Because I remember listening to Peace of Mind on vinyl. And I can remember listening to that and Number of the Beast and fucking Killers, you know. And then Twisted Sister, Kids from School. Oh, well, this one guy's brother, he was in my class. Well, he would go steal his big brother's tapes, bring him to school and fucking sell them. And in that collection, when I was like in grade school, it was fucking Celtic Frost, Bathory. Took it home, popped it in. Me and my sister were like, what the fuck is this? You know, I never heard anything like it. So that's how I got into metal, is that, you know, from other people. And the radio still played. You would hear Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, hard rock like Scorpions. Oh, my dad would let me stay up on the weekends and watch Night Flight. And be watching fucking Motorhead, like all kinds of, I've always been in rock music, you know, but the extreme stuff came from, you know, fucking, from the, your classic metal to, hey, this kid came to school and slipped me this fucking Creator tape and I flipped out, you know. But this one, I was like 14, 15. So I early on, that's how I got into metal. And I knew that's how I felt, you know, because I didn't have it too good in school, you know, socially. So metal was a fucking outlet. And then, like, that's where a lot of my attitude, so-called attitude problems came from. I didn't have a problem with my attitude.
You liked yourself.
Absolutely.
As... going for me, listening to music goes back to when I was a kid. I mean, 3 or 4 years old, you know, listening to movie soundtracks for the time. And one of the first bands I really started getting into, I do believe it was Faith No More. And this kind of ties in with Paul, because at that time, Paul and I were always hanging out and shit. And, you know, start listening to music, and one of the first bands I ever remember hearing was Faith No More for The Real Thing. Paul made me, I shouldn't be saying this, but he made me a copy cassette of that, you know.
That's cool.
And that became one of the first favorite tapes I ever had. You know, just listening to shit on the radio from, like, Depeche Mode and, you know.
Do you like a lot of the 80s stuff?
Yeah,
I mean, I did too. I listened to it.
I mean, I was a kid of the 80s, and, you know, that's pretty much all they played. I mean, radio around here, you can imagine.
I'm from the 80s, so, I mean, I listen to that shit too. I listen to Depeche Mode, fucking all kinds of fucked up shit.
But from Faith No More, I love the sound of Faith No More, and the kind of vibe from that crossed itself over to other bands like Soundgarden, Stone Temple Pilots, Alice in Chains. Later on, discovered Metallica, Megadeth, Motorhead. Then kind of crossing into Type O Negative and Moonspell, and then it just kind of exploded from there in high school.
We flipped out on Type O.
Yep.
Like, I heard some of the early shit. I did not know, I have any knowledge of Carnivore, really. Is the 90 or 91 or some shit, or 92, whenever. Then Bloody Kisses came out, and, you know, I was listening to Extreme Shemal. I could hear the rock. I could hear the influences that I grew up on. I'm like, fuck, these guys are incredible.
Yep, AC/DC, the Beatles.
Beatles off the Black Sabbath.
Yep, that's it was. I think I was in middle school, junior high when I first started listening to Type O Negative, and I think I was a freshman or a sophomore when Wolfheart came out, and we picked it up and playing it in our one buddy's car, and it was cool because he had the subwoofers in his trunk. So when Mike's double kicks were going in gear, like,
I was in Arizona.
It's like, fuck yeah.
I was in Arizona when it came out, and the reason why I bought Moonspell, and I have the article somewhere, they're talking about drinking blood, rituals, fire dancers, what they're into. I'm like, these fucking guys sound cool. So I went down, it came out, bought Wolfheart. I'm like, this is great. Oh, I heard them on a Blackened compilation. And fucking, I'm like, holy shit.
I don't remember what volume, but I remember. It's one of the
Volume ones. One.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, this is, I worship thee. And I'm like, this shit's fucking great. First track off the Under a Moonspell, that's what it was from.
Yeah.
And I flipped out. So we actually got to hear the same shit. Actually, you know, some of the newer stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Irreligious was like fucking really flipping me out.
To date, that's my favorite.
That may be even more. Is, yeah, God.
Irreligious is brilliant.
Classic. It's incredible.
Yeah. In 99, on Freddy's Closet, they started playing some stuff from their newer album, I guess it would be. It was Simpicado. And it was Handmade God. I could not get enough of that fucking song. It was like that and I Never Die by Crematory, and like those songs I just couldn't get a fuck enough of. But, you know, around here you can't even find CDs, and, you know, the very early days of the internet, there was really no distro set up where you
could get CDs.
No, there wasn't. So, you know, it was
still
really
by mail
fucking,
order from the labels. Relapse, Nuclear Blast, and Century Media.
That's it. Fucking, it was rough.
I miss those days, though, because when I'd order from Relapse Records, fucking they'd send me all these flyers and posters and...
Well, if you order CDs, I mean, occasionally if there's something I really want to get and I can't find it, you know, at the FYE nearby, I go to the Century Media website, and they'll occasionally send me CDs and samplers and shit. Like, there was This is kind of irrelevant because I can't remember the name of the band, but you know, you still get free shit, free flyers and CDs and stuff.
Relapse of the shit, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I will credit one guy back to what you, Hooky, asked me, you know, as asked us before we started metal. I have to give a lot of credit to fucking Aaron Frick, because if it wasn't for him, this guy, he was in bands on Will. I jammed with him for a while. He played fucking Soulside Journey on vinyl.
Oh, man.
The bass player, David Gilmour. We used to bust his ass. David Gilmour. Yeah. Fucking, he introduced me all this fucking shit. I was like, wow, you know. And we, oh, and when I was in college and living in Hutch, we used to go down, me and my friend Kevin Smith and all the other death metal heads, we go to the fucking mortuary, hang outside and listen to death metal just because that's as death as it could get. So we do that.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm surprised Paul and I never did get to do, is take a boombox, go to a cemetery and listen to some shit.
Oh, we do that too. We go to the mausoleums and do our thing. Yeah. And just
they were always locked in our parts.
It was great. Wow. The prison cemetery was scary though. That was awesome.
Prison cemetery.
Yeah. Like a good trip. Fuck yeah.
Faceless Markers.
And Carcass. Back and Carcass. I've been listening to that since high school. Tools of the Trade. Oh, you know what we used to do? Yeah. And fucking
Tools. Oh, the fucking trade.
We used to want to get people. He's English.
No, that's how something. That's how he introduced the song. I have an old video, and he's like, Tools of the fucking trade.
Fucking Oh, what was the fuck? I lost my fucking train of thought.
Train of thought is derailed.
It's derailed.
Must have been Amtrak.
We want to get people out of the house, out of my apartment. We got tired of these fucks, so fucking this guy Les would be like, let's listen to the new Carcass. So we put in like a Reek of Petrifaction or whatever, however you want to.
Reek of Putrefaction?
Yeah, let's listen to the new Carcass. So we put it in, played all the way through. Let's listen to the other Carcass. We play the same album over and over and over, and people get disgusted and leave. Then we just end up drinking all the beer. It'd be more for us.
It's a good time.
But I got into industrial music, too.
I'm surprised all of 8th Avenue didn't move out of their fucking homes when Permanent Midnight was playing.
There's a guy that knows you guys that I work with, Greg. I can't remember Greg's last name. Greg knows your dad. He's like 45 years old, and he told me, he's like, he remembers you guys jamming. He's like, yeah, the guy with the long red hair and Hooky, he calls your dad Hooky.
Yeah.
And he remembers you guys jamming. He's like,
Grayson, sucking up the neighborhood.
All right here would be all, raw, 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 dun, 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 raw.
Don't forget the.
Yeah.
Yeah, the good old days.
That was pretty cool hearing that, hearing about you guys. He's like that kid with the long red hair.
And you know, going back to Permanent Midnight, what's really fucked up is that there's still fans out there who are, you know, local fans still talking about the band and, you know.
Like, I don't know, maybe you're just going to have to fucking do something.
Hey, Bob, you hear that band Permanent Midnight last week? At the
little boys, were there little boys there?
At the Cluckers and Cream.
Oh. Jesus Christ. Oh my God! What a nightmare that was.
We will
was.
Tell that story in a bit, but let me go. Okay, when I was a kid,
we might have to tell this story next week. We should probably cut this off at about an hour.
Okay, so we got 10 minutes. My story is, you know, like every kid, you know, my mom would clean the house and she would blare like Rush.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's one of the only bands I remember. But when I was old enough to kind of have my own whatever, when I started to get into music, everything I ever liked was always the dark side of everything. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I was never into fucking cartoons. I was always watching Friday the 13th. So the album that really got me was, or like a doorway, I guess, or a gateway drug, was Antichrist Superstar, which is not cool now.
That's a good record, man. Are you kidding? It's brilliant.
But the first one, too, the Portrait of an American
fucking
Family.
Fucking Portrait. I mean,
I was, you know, 14... 14, 15 when
I was... See, I was already in college. I went to that tour and freaked out. We spit on him.
And we had, you know, we had that, Nine Inch Nails, you know, pretty much the music of the 90s, like, you know, the dark music of the 90s or whatever.
Got a lot of good but memories
from
Nine Inch Nails.
My first, I can't really remember if it was 6 Feet Under or Cannibal Corpse, but I remember when I bought, in April of 1997, I bought Eaten Back to Life. That fucking changed my life, man. That album is the reason why I'm, you know, a big death metal junkie now. because that album was the album that was what. And I bought it with my aunt and my stepmom. So they pop it in, and just a fucking assault to their ears. They're like, oh my god, what is this? You know, and I fucking loved it.
That's metal, mommy.
And Tomb of the Mutilated. One time I was playing it, and my best friend Steven's like, hey, where are the vocals at? And I said, do you hear that growling? He's all, really? This is fucking awesome.
That wasn't how you said his reaction was. You're just like, he was like, really?
Oh yeah, really? Some shit. Because me and this guy,
sounded more sinister.
We were around, driving around fucking Halstead blasting Slayer. Because he's the only, like, we're in the same shit, me and this guy, Steven. And he flipped out. And another guy, I was playing on cassette, Tomb of the Mutilated, and he thought the CD was skipping. I'm like, no, he's playing that fast. It's not Scott's fucking drums. He's like, what?
I remember Jason Yakimowski was telling me a story about the first time he heard Mortician.
Jason Yakimowski being the original bassist for Permanent Midnight.
Right. We'll get into that next week. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jason was telling me, him and Paul were listening to it, and he was like, what the fuck is that? You know, that brutal bass slide. I'm not even giving it. It's more like...
Well done. You look so fucking proud.
Brutal.
I got to eat the microphone.
Napalm Death was another one that got me going. And seeing them live, it was fucking disgusting. We couldn't hear for 3 days.
Saying what you said earlier about, you know, your mom playing Rush when she was doing some stuff around the house, that kind of reminded me of what my folks were into. I mean, it didn't have that much influence, but, you know, my dad was into the Beatles and AC/DC. My mom, you know, even less so of an influence with Patsy Cline and Elvis and some stuff. And my grandma used to listen to, like, Roy Orbison. I do like Roy Orbison, just don't
fuck
listen
yeah,
to
dude.
Very much.
Roy Orbison's fucking, his voice is incredible.
Crying, man. Crying is a great song.
Yep.
That's the smoothest fucking vocals from I've ever heard.
Smooth. Yeah.
Smooth.
Yep.
Who was it that sang Mr. Lonely? That was Bobby Vinton, right? Or was that Roy Orbison?
No, Only the Lonely.
Yeah.
Only
but who sang
the
Mr.
Lonely?
I like that tune, too.
I honestly don't remember.
I don't fucking know. I don't know. I like all that doo-wop shit. I'll be honest.
Hell, like,
some of that
50s
shit. But I do like Chuck Berry. And
I really hate that attitude that a lot of... I don't want to lump metalheads in the category, but a lot of people are just, oh, you listen to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, not real.
You gotta understand,
this
though.
This asshole kid, well, you know.
Yeah.
I'm listening to fucking, he knows him. I'm listening to Hendrix. He's, and this guy's a great guitar player. Why are you listening to Hendrix for? I'm thinking, oh my God, are you crazy? Why wouldn't I be listening to Jimi Hendrix?
Billy, you had a thought?
I'm gonna see if I can try to get it back.
I was just trying to comment on him.
It'll never fuck
on metalheads not being open minded. A lot of them, it's like,
yeah.
Listen, I'm like,
yeah, it's like you can't wear fucking blue jeans. And to me, that's what fucking ripped up blue jeans, man.
Not only that, but the expectation kind of works on the other side, lumping, you know, metalheads into this category of people who don't listen to certain types of music.
Yeah.
Or who don't have knowledge of other things outside that spectrum. I mean, you gotta understand, there's a lot of idiots who listen to nothing but metal. I mean, primarily Lamb of God. But,
No, that's metal. I had no idea.
Well, if you were to look back through the music of history, the classical music, like, you know, Beethoven and Liszt, I mean, you had composers who designed, I don't want to see, like they would basically arrange their concert halls so that they could get the most out of their bass frequencies, so that they would shake the seats, and that would be kind of loosely termed unholy, or, you know... against the sacred nature of the
I gotta say this, but when I was a kid too, White Zombie was, I still like White Zombie.
But
when I first heard them, that was amazing too, because they were mixing, you know, horror with.
But what he's saying is, what Billy's saying is, these guys are cranking it up. They were fucking playing places where they knew it would echo and it'd be all in your face.
That, and there's another composer, Liszt, who could play I think he's a pianist, I just can't remember right now, but he would be able to play so fast that he was said to have made a deal with the devil for his talents. I mean,
yeah, they called talent evil.
Pretty much. And I mean, for as complex as their music is, you can easily draw the same parallels to the bands now, like Obscura is a really good example. I mean, you can easily see composers from those times finding something that they can relate to in today's metal, especially the technical
Therion. Shit. Therion. If we could go back in time and grab those motherfuckers, bring them here and say, hey, look what you guys did.
Yep.
You might have died poor like Mozart did and Beethoven, but it's like they have no idea what effect they had on metal. And a lot of the metalheads who choose to be ignorant, you know, they have no idea where it came from.
Not only that, but metal, I mean, if you're the type of person like we are who likes to try to find the beats and the really complex shit, I mean, that's intellectually stimulant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the fucking drum and bass and the pop shit you have in music today. It's just mind-numbing.
Music is so uninspired. It has been for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking the mainstream shit that they play on the radio that is supposed to be
new rock, they call it. New rock. Jesus Christ.
And you know, that's a trend because that stuff dies. I remember back in like the late 90s, you know, like Limp Bizkit was the fucking, you know, I mean, you heard that shit everywhere. And that shit died too. So
Crazy Town, that was a band I could not wait to see die. Jesus Christ on his fucking throne.
That shit's horrible.
I mean, I just...
And they're still making money. They're still rehashing Korn bullshit.
I think...
And that sound. And, of course, Breaking Benjamin.
I think... Yeah. There's a fucking... Lame. There's a local band for you.
Horrible. Yep.
That's glorified... That's pretty much all rock is, man. It's just glorified bar bands. Bands that should have stayed in one fucking locale that, you know, are so generic and lame that, oh, we can... I mean, this doesn't really peak any particular string or another, can kind of throw this out there and it won't, it'll float on its own.
Yeah, it's all random. It seems like it's random music. It doesn't go anywhere. It's horrible.
Well, you
and you can swap out the members of just about any band, plop them in somewhere else, and there's absolutely no difference
that's
whatsoever.
Correct. Yep, no fucking difference.
You know, the metal scene itself is like an army because whereas you forget the next fucking in, you know, the next popular thing on the radio 2 years later, you know, we're still listening to albums that were released in the 80s, early 90s.
I'm still listening to fucking Doors and Blue Cheer, man, going back to the 60s.
Right, exactly. But I'm saying, like, you know, it's a loyalty, really, is what it is. You know what I mean? And there was people, like, in high school, teachers would say, well, you know, the clothes you're wearing, that's a phase. And I'm thinking to myself, a fucking phase? What? You know, it's not a phase.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? I don't listen to music to be cool, and I don't listen to the music I listen to be different. That's not my objective.
Or to fit in.
Yeah.
Definitely not to fit in. That's the least fucking part. If anything, you're cast away, you know what I mean? So it's like the loyal fans who go and pay these bands who have been around, you know, they pay $20 a ticket, to see these bands who have been around, who make their money from touring,
mm-hmm.
you know, that shows something. It's loyalty, you know?
That's right.
And they're still playing for their fans.
Exactly.
Right. Vital Remains, hardly anybody showed up, but they played like there was 100 million people there. They played like it was like they gave it all.
Well, I suppose we should wrap it up for this week. Sorry for the kind of scatterbrained format, but this is kind of just, you know, stream of consciousness at this point. You know,
test pattern.
Pretty much. This is pretty much our test pattern, our Rorschach test, you know, throwing a big splotch up and see what we can identify, maybe, you know, trying to form something cognizant out of it.
And hopefully we get some feedback.
I'm using the right word.
If we get some feedback, too, that'd be great once we broadcast this fucking thing. I think we should.
Well, I should say, quote unquote, next week's episode is going to happen here in a couple minutes. So, with that said, we will bid you adieu. This is Billy, aka Mixion.
This is Barbarian, aka Rob, aka fucking
Wook,
Mr. Knockout.
I don't have a fucking name. Give me a name right now,
Mr.
guys.
Mr. Knockout.
Give me my radio name right now.
Cocksucker motherfucker.
This is Cocksucker motherfucker, yo.
And this is just Crazy Jay. I don't know.
Okay, how about we send this one out with Andre the Giant?
Hulk Hogan, I will crush you when I get in the ring. I will destroy you, Hulk Hogan. You will have nowhere to run or hide, Hulk Hogan.
Nice.
That'll do it. Take care now. Fuck off, man.